Which direction should I pitch my tent? You know, it's important. The direction that you set yourself in life. What are you seeking for? Is there anything you're seeking for more than God? Is it a career? Is it a relationship? I have some lengthy reading here, if you read with me here, on Psalms 37, and then we're going to go to Genesis 13, and then we're also going to go to Genesis 19. Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, so often we try to do it on our own, folks, because we know which direction God may want us to go, and we'd rather go this way and then seek certain things. But you know, God knows you better than you know you. Huh? Genesis 13, 1 through 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south to Bethel, going to Bethel, the house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. See, I like how Abram does that. He goes toward the house of God, to the altars. A place to the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went to Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, and they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, and for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 19, 1 through 29. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Why? Why did they go to Sodom? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and said, he said, behold, now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your way. And they said, nay, we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young. All the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have known no man. Let me, I pray, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes only unto these men. Do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides a son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Listen to this. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. Here's the angels. They're laying hold on his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord began being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They drug him out of the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. He didn't even want to listen to him still. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape into the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city, for thou which hast spoken. Haste thee and escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou hast come thither. Therefore the name of the city called Zoar. The sun was arising upon the earth when Lot entered to the Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abram and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lord, speak to us right here today. Anoint your servant to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Some of the most tragic stories you ever hear are of believers who neglect their walk with God. And they find their lives later in a terrible, broken condition spiritually. How is it that someone who knows the ways and the joys of God can get lost in the road, in the journey walking with God? The process of life that starts out so well but ends up so badly is a story of a gradual process of ignoring important spiritual realities. It is almost never happens, folks, overnight. You don't backslide overnight. It's a gradual course. Start turning that tent towards Sodom. In other words, start turning your interest into things other than God. And when people of the church call you and try to encourage you And you're like, I'm fine, I'm all right. And you don't even realize that you're turning your interest away from the things of God. I want to encourage you to look around here today, folks. And I'm not saying that people are diverted from God, but I wanted to say this earlier. There's a lot of people that aren't here today. Reach out to them. Encourage them. Amen? You know the old story of putting the frog in the pan of water? If you drop that frog into boiling water, he will jump out before he's injured. But if you put him in a pot of cool water and he's perfectly comfortable, then you put him on the stove and little by little the water gets warm. And finally, when it is boiling, it is too late. We've all heard that story. But let me tell you something, folks. Christians are like that. Amen? We get into the world, and it is so pleasant at first. And then it gets a little warmer, and it is a little more pleasant. And one day we realize the danger, and it's too late. And we ask ourselves, how did I get to this place? You see, it was Abraham's nephew when God called Abraham in Genesis 12. Lot, the Bible says, went with Abraham. God blessed them so abundantly that they outgrew each other's households and had to go their separate ways. And Abraham told Lot to pick this direction which you would go, and I will go the other way. But Lot, the Bible says, beheld all the plain of Jordan in Genesis 13:10. That it was well watered everywhere. And it even said, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. You see, when we find that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, either Lot was young and had not made up his mind how to live for God, or Lot was backslidden because the Bible says he pitched his tent toward the world. He pitched his tent toward the wilderness, the wickedness. And when you pitch your tent toward something, folks, it means that the door of your tent is facing that direction. Every morning when Lot stepped out of his tent, the first thing that he saw was Sodom. You see, there's a gravity that the world has, folks, and it will pull you down with it. It is having a drawing power. It can lure you in, and the call of the world can pull you in. The next thing we know, Lot, the Bible said, is living in Sodom. How'd that happen, Lot? Was it every morning you woke up and you begin to desire the things of Sodom? Begin desiring things that you have no business desiring when you are trying to live for God. See, not only was Lot living in Sodom, he was apparently a prominent figure in that community. Because the Bible says in Genesis 19 that he sat in the gate of Sodom. It looks like Lot was backslidden at this point. See, when they sit in the gate, that they are there as judges. He was backslidden. Lot is an example of a man who knew God and he had it all, but he exchanged it all, that good stuff, for great losses through the gradual move away from God into this world. You see, in the end, a man named Lot had a whole lot less. The Bible teaches us that to be careful not to pitch our tents toward Sodom or toward the things of the world, but toward Bethel, the house of God, like Abraham did. You see, it is possible, folks, to start out well and finish poorly if we drift away from the Lord. Anything the world offers will be a bad bargain compared to what God offers. Amen? Lot, amen, he was in Genesis 13, the story of Lot start out by establishing the godly character of Abraham first. God tells us what a great man Abraham was. Abraham is on his way to Bethel, which translates to the house of God. Lot is traveling along with Abraham. And they are both quite rich. In fact, the word used in Genesis 13:2, very wealthy. In Hebrews, it literally means heavy. Wealth can be both a blessing and a heavy burden also to bear. The beginning point is similar with these men, but their end will be very different. How tragic. How tragic to ignore the human heart's power to do evil. The Bible says our heart is wicked. There's a illustration I have. I do not fear, that was said by Albert Einstein. He says, Albert Einstein said this, I do not fear the explosive power of the atom bomb. What I fear is the explosive power of evil in the human heart. Think about it. It's there to do evil if we don't control it and contain it. Amen? See, while Abraham clearly set his face toward God, Lot, folks, began to look elsewhere. And where Lot's eyes went, his spirit moved there in time. See, that's the thing about it. When you start looking at things and you start longing for the things, next thing you know, you find yourself getting closer and closer and closer to those things. Some people say, well, it's okay to look. You better not be looking because you begin to lusting. Amen? Abraham stayed where God put him. Lot moved away from the place of God to a place of wickedness, and he did it gradually. You see, when Abraham said, let's separate here, Lot didn't say, okay, I'll go to Sodom. No, he looked at the plains. He said, oh, this is a good place for my cattle to be. But look at that over there. That's Sodom. And little by little, that tent facing Sodom got closer and closer and closer until he was pulled in. You see, a lot of times we're so self-serving, aren't we? You see, it didn't take long before problems to develop between Lot and Abraham's herdmen. And the land could not produce enough for both. And it had only been Abraham and God led to this land. That's, God intended that for Abraham. But Lot's presence was of his own doing. And it caused problems. Lot needed to increase more and more, created a strain on the resources for all. You see, Abraham's heart is revealed in his solution to Lot. Lot was allowed to choose whatever he wanted. Abraham's concern was, we're brethren, let's get along. And it did not matter to him who got the best land. See, unfortunately, Lot saw things quite differently. It wasn't the brethren issue for Lot. It was that he was concerned about. It was the fact that he was losing more than he felt he should have lost. The situation wasn't fair to him. Lot saw only how he was losing ground. Abraham saw only unnecessary division between the brethren. Lot viewed the world through his own gains, through his own losses, not through his relationships. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to understand how great godly relationships are in your life. You need to appreciate it, amen, and not so be so eager to get out of here. Oh, get quiet on me. This is one of the greatest things you have going, being a part of a great church, of people that love you, and why come in at the last minute and leave at the mentioning of amen. It just blows my mind. You are blessed with great relationships because that will help you to keep your tent pitched toward Bethel. You see, this is the first stage of Lot's movement away from Bethel, away from God's place. When given a choice to end broken fellowship, Lot will choose the best material gain for himself. Come on. Listen to what I just said there. Given a chance, and the first Lot's movement away from Bethel, amen, when given a choice to end fellowship, Lot chose the best material gain for himself. The spiritual issues have no concern to Lot. Lot is a man of compromise, self-directed. So Lot chose for himself, the Word of God says. That says it all. Lot chose for himself. Not what's best for us, what's best for me. Abraham's choices were for God. Lot's choices were for himself. Folks, when you're looking for places to live, live close as you can to the church. If you're looking for the best job, look for the best job that'll give you every moment to be in things that the church is doing. You see what I'm trying to say here? If you're not, if you're taking the best for you and it takes you away from the things of God, what is that choice? What's best for me? Listen, not only, folks, is the body of Christ for us, your presence is important to us also. Come on. We want you to be a part of us. But Lot, that wasn't important to Lot. What was important to Lot was what's best for me. Because I got my door opens up to Sodom, to success, to great gains for me, to be lifted up as a leader in the town, a judge in the city. What's best for me? Which way does your tent open up to today, folks? Abraham chose the things of God. He kept his door facing Bethel. But Lot was only concerned for himself. Lot saw what looked good on the outside. And this was how he made his decisions in life. This was, no doubt, what caused him to pitch his tent toward Sodom. And eventually, folks, we find him and his family in Sodom. Listen, parents, you're not only making decisions for yourself, you're making it for your family. Lot took his family there. It wasn't just him. He took his whole family there. Did he walk out with his whole family? No. And we'll look into that. But see, that's the thing. So often I've seen over time, folks, is people make decisions what concerns them and their benefit, and they lose their family in the meantime. Please pray for my children. I'm not making fun. It is sad. Lot puts a lot of great contrast. See, he's learning we're based on how things look to the carnal flesh rather than the spiritual side of things. You see, folks, we got to understand and know why that Matthew 6:33 is so important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. So often we want it now. We don't want to wait on God to take us through some things and help us to understand things and help us to appreciate the blessings that he gives us in our lives. So here he's learning where we're were based on how things looked at the carnal flesh rather than the spiritual side. When Abraham looked out his door, it wasn't the lush plains. But God always took care of him. And so this puts Lot in great contrast with Abraham. Living for God isn't always apparently an easy path, folks. Lot, however, his ways always took the path that seemed the easiest to the flesh. Another illustration, it has been said that rivers and men become crooked by following the line of least resistance. See, tragically, Lot is gradually moving closer and closer toward the world, as evidenced by the statement here in Genesis 13, 12, and Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Self-destructing. Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom, the Bible says, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And yet, Lot is creeping closer and closer and closer every day. See, while in the previous verses in Genesis 13, we find Lot looking toward the fertile fields and then pitching his tent toward Sodom, we will soon find him living in Sodom. Folks, a man or a woman doesn't slide into sin in one step. It is often a gradual process of leaving God behind and moving toward the world in stages. When you start complaining about things in the church and start complaining about why do we got to do this and why do we got to do that? Why do I got to pay my tithes? Why do I got to be in church every time the doors open? Why? And you're pitching your tent and you're gradually going toward Sodom. You see, few would ever become a hardened sinner overnight because it's a process. It is much more gradual. Amen. Little by little. Another illustration, people do not decide to be drunkards and drug addicts and prostitutes and murderers or thieves, but they pitch their tent towards Sodom and the powers of evil overcome them. John Eastwood said that. No doubt when Lot first moved into Sodom, the sin of the place must have grieved his heart. He may have even justified his setting in the city as a way of hope to evangelize the place. Maybe in his mind, he hoped to change the city for God. But as time goes on, we will see that rather than his changing them, they changed his family and his ways and brought destruction to his life and his family. See, Lot's choices to live in Sodom and to be a part of that community would have ramifications on his entire family, and some of which they never recovered. Not only will he lose his wife, but he also loses his married daughters and his sons-in-law. And they don't even leave with him. They made fun of him. And he also loses the respect of his unmarried daughters who do leave with him. And later they commit incest with him and produce two children by this ungodly union. You see, in the end, Lot will lose all his wealth, most of his family, and most of all, his peace of mind. Not to mention the spiritual heritage and witness he could have had. Lot, compromising all through his life, left him with almost nothing in the end. Solomon discovered a similar fate through he maintained his wealth. You see, folks, it is tragic to realize that most of the biblical characters that fell didn't do it, did all this in their later half of their life through the process of compromise. Lot had a lot of casualties. He had a sinful life, and when these two angels show up, Lot begs them to stay in a city square, and not to stay in a city square, but knowing full well that they would be raped and by perverted men of the city. He is fully aware of the nature of the wickedness in Sodom, but rather than confront this evil, Lot has learned to accommodate the horrible nature of their sin with attempts to accept what he considered lesser sins. So then, rather than allow the crowd to rape his two guests by homosexual acts, he asks the wicked crowd to accept an invitation to rape his two virgin daughters. No doubt Lot does this out of fear, but the message here is just very clear, folks. Lot is more concerned about his reputation than his family's welfare. And no wonder later his daughters have no respect for him and get him drunk in order to seduce him to produce children for themselves. And the fact that Lot could offer the wicked men of the city a chance to rape his daughters instead of hurting his guests demonstrates this desensitizing influence living in a sinful place had to have on his soul. You see, Lot had learned to survive in an atmosphere of sin rather than to challenge sin. Folks, when Lot's attempts to stand up against their homosexuality, they asked him, "Who made you judge over him?" But he was. Which is rather ironic. The fact that acted professionally as a judge is by evidence by the fact that the angels found him at the city gates when they arrived. The place where local judges sat to judge civil cases in the city. Lot's attempt at being a judge over them was seen as hypocritical by these wicked people, and Lot's attempt to protect his guest, but not his family, was seen as hypocritical by these people. Lot's attempts to play the middle ground while not supporting either side left him with no respect from either side. Lot's attempts at being somewhat spiritual and concerned about his guests became a laughingstock, and he was mocked. His failure as a man of God only made a circus out of his act. And the angels had to step in and save Lot. They saved his daughters. They saved his home from the wicked situation. And since Lot's own moral laxity left him vulnerable, but unfortunately for Lot, he learned this horrible end to no longer feeling a deep pain over sin. And by accommodating sin, he no longer felt the anguish of it until the angels showed up. And the angels forced the issue in his life. But by this point, the price tag was pretty high. Someone said pain can serve a definite purpose in our lives. Dr. Paul Brand of Carville, Louisiana, one of the world's foremost experts on leprosy, describes how leprosy patients lose their fingers and their toes, not because the disease can cause decay, but precisely because the lack of pain sensations. Nothing warns them when the water is too hot or the hammer handle is splintered. Accidental self-abuse destroys their bodies. That's how Lot was, self-abuse in his life. You see, the angels blinded the wicked men of the city and saved for the moment Lot and his family. What a picture, folks, of God's love for a backslidden man. Because somebody was praying for him up by Bethel. Come on. And God's mercy saw this man who was so backslidden. He was willing to lose his family for his own desires. But there was prayer going up by Bethel. And the mercy of God walked into that filthy city and drug him and his family out of that city. What a tragic truth of how sin's constant presence can make us less and less sensitive if we don't stand up against sin. Sin, folks, is devastation. The angels now hurry to save as many as possible. They ask Lot to get his sons. God, go get your sons and your daughters. Go get your sons-in-laws. And let's leave this place. And since his sons-in-laws laugh at him, he must have had at least two married daughters besides the two unmarried ones that are mentioned here. And since the angels also mentioned sons, it is possible that there was sons or sons involved in this also. And this now makes more sense with Abraham's request of God to spare the city if there's even 10 righteous souls could be found in that city. You see, he may have been counting Lot's family and knew there were at least 10 in the family. Tragically, his married daughters and their husbands laughed at him, and they refused to go with him. They have no respect for him. And if he had sons, they had too little, not even responded. The angel realizes the time had come, and they are forced to grab Lot and his family by the hands, and they drag them out of their love for this city and this wickedness and this sin. And even during, folks, or even during the judgment, they were reluctant to go. And what this indicates, that their hearts were still rather than rather there than back at Bethel, at the house of God. They are strictly told, do not look back. If God rescues you from your past, folks, don't look back at it. Come on, don't look back at it. We should not look back from where we came with the longing of how good we thought it was. To turn back to the wicked place would end this time in total destruction. God was giving Lot's family a second chance, and they must not blow it this time. But Lot's wife turns back, the Bible says, and she dies. Lot begins to compromise again. He begs the angels to let him go to Zoar rather than go to the mountains. And God permits it. So he spares Zoar. And this turns out, folks, not to work like all Lot's other compromises. Zoar means little city. It was a miniature Sodom. Lot's attempts to regain just a little bit of what he had. The fact that he did not stay probably indicates the local people of the city recognized him and blamed him for Sodom and Gomorrah. Blamed him for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they sought to do him harm. So he finally flees to the mountains and to the caves like God wanted him to go to in the first place. Tragically, Lot lost his losses almost, he loses almost everything he had. All because one day he was given a choice to choose for himself rather than for God like Abraham did. This was a bad bargain. Yet how many Christians today are in the process of making bad bargains? Maybe yours is not as bad as Lot's was. But any movement away from God, folks, is a bad deal. Folks, you cannot expect to end up with better deals than what God offers you. In the first place, by walking away from Him. By walking away from God, you're not going to get a better deal than God offered you. How could anyone choose the world over God and expect to get ahead in life? How about you today? What are you choosing? Which way is your tent aiming? Let's stand here. You see, whenever we choose the world, it's always over God and His ways. It's a bad deal. It's a bad bargain. Folks, listen to me. Lot started out with Abram. And like Abram enjoyed the blessings of God. But Lot exchanged what Abram could offer for what the world could offer. And in the end, Lot had so much less. Which direction is your tent pitched? Is your tent pitched toward Sodom? Or is your tent pitched toward Bethel? Think about it. Are your selfish desires worth your family? Don't put the children in there. One of the most beautiful things to see is like the video we just watched with children worshiping God. In between the services, I saw a little child back here bragging about what they were going to do, play the piano and play the microphone and play the drums. You can't put a price on that. Parents, let your children go out the door of your home to Bethel. When they walk outside, let them see Bethel. And when it comes time to make a choice, let them put their tent toward Bethel because they saw a good example. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's give them a good example. Ask God, say, Lord, I want you to replace my desires in me. I want to desire you, God. I want to desire to be in the presence of God. Because, Lord, your word says, if I put you first and I seek your righteousness, all these things will be added. I want what I have to come from my God. I'm going to open this altar up for some folks here today. Folks, come up here. Let's make things right with God. Amen. Let's just say, God, I don't want to even consider anything other than Bethel. Come on, seek him right now. Parents, bring your children with you. Pray with them at this altar. Come on.